This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, absolutely delighted to spend this time with you Monday through Friday as we discuss issues of importance to your life and to your faith. And I'll tell you what, we are in a time and a place where we really do need to be building each other up. And that is what our job is right here on Women of Grace Live. We try to edify you, and you certainly do edify us. So we always invite you to give us a call here. That's the way it takes place. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That does happen to be a toll-free number for you if you are in North America. So we invite you to use it. We invite you to use it regularly, and we invite you to use it often. So please do contact us here. We do love having that holy conversation with you Monday through Friday at this same time. Do want to let you know that we're also available to you out there on EWTN television. 1 p.m. is the time for Women of Grace on the network. It used to be at this time, but it's been changed to 1 p.m. We're excited about that. We don't go head-to-head with ourselves, and it gives us greater opportunity to discuss these very important issues that impact us in oh so very many ways. We invite you to get out there today and to watch and see what's going on. We're interviewing Al Cresta today at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, talking about some of the things that we're facing right now in our nation. Very important discussion with Al. He's going to be with us again tomorrow. And then on Friday, we are going to be having our live show. Anna Maria Cardinal is our guest. We're going to be talking about the music of the Mass. What a beautiful topic we will be discussing that day. We do take phone calls on that live show. It's an hour-long show on Friday, so please do plan on joining us for that program. We look forward to it. It's Wacky Wednesday. That means that Sue Brinkman is with us today, and we're going to be getting to some of the questions that you've sent in to us, and we certainly do invite you to call us here. We really do want to hear from you, your questions, anything that you see that's kind of wacky out there. You know, that's the topic for the day. So do give us a call. Again, that toll-free number, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Want to remind you, too, that we're available to you out there in social media land. Jeff Burson, who is our producer extraordinaire and social media maven genius, will go on out there to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. He'll retrieve your questions and comments, your insights, your inspirations, your words of encouragement, and he'll get them up on the board. Now, I mentioned Sue Brinkman. This is a busy lady. You keep her busy with the questions that you send to us via our blog out there at our website, womenofgrace.com. But if you venture out to that womenofgrace.com website, you're going to see that we are going to be having a beautiful online fall retreat, and it's October 23rd through the 24th. We're giving you a lot of advance notices so that you can indeed plan to spend that weekend with us online. Sue Brinkman is one of our speakers, and I'll tell you, it's a beautiful, beautiful theme. Open the eyes of your heart, the transformative power of prayer. Isn't that a beautiful topic? Isn't that a beautiful thing to begin to explore? And we've got quite a lineup. We have seven people that are going to be presenting on this topic and the various aspects of prayer, why we need prayer, how we enter into prayer, what these different forms of prayer are all about, and how it is that we can mine the rich treasury of grace that God wants us to know through prayer, but also how we can change the world through prayer. And I'm really excited about all of it. So we've got Father Peter John Cameron coming. We have Kathleen Beckman coming. We have Thomas K. Sullivan coming. We have Susan Brinkman coming. We have Susan Potvin coming. And we have Susan Tassoni coming. Jokingly, someone said, you've got the Trinity of Sues coming. That's very true. We've got them all coming. The beautiful three Susans are going to be with us. I'm going to be speaking too. And again, that's October 23rd through the 24th. It's number one in the slideshow at our website, womenofgrace.com. All you really need to do is to click on that slideshow. It'll take you to the page. You'll find out more information there. You'll see the schedule, et cetera. Schedule's getting posted today. I just proofed it this morning and approved it this morning. So it's going up there. And you're going to be able to register right there. We like to make it easy breezy for you. We certainly do. Number two in the slideshow, I am really recommending you watch this program produced in 2006. It's funny to watch those programs and you look back at the past and you see the way we did television then. It's a different show. It's The Abundant Life. And my guest was Phyllis Schlafly. We were talking about the future of self-government in America and would we continue to protect liberty and prosperity that flows from this freedom, cauterized for us, if you will, cauterized, I don't know if that's the codified, I think is the word I'm looking for there, codified in the Constitution of the United States. And then the bottom line question that we talked about, or are we going to give sway to a small group of powerful elites? Now, there's a question. And the reason why we pulled this out of our archives and put it there for you to view is because this topic is front and center today. It was front and center in 2006. It's front and center today, too. And maybe even more so because of the intervening years that have passed since the time that we produced this program. But I wanted you to hear it. Remember, it's in 2006, it was produced. That means that the state of the United States was not quite the same as it is today. And some of the issues that you're going to hear in that particular program are issues that we would look at somewhat differently today, but they're definitely issues that were pertinent then. But the underlying message is exactly the same, and the considerations that we should have in light of that message are exactly the same. And I thought it would be valuable for you. And so I'm encouraging you to get out there. It was called The New Judiciary, Renegade Judges. And it talked a lot about activist judges who are trying to put forth certain agendas and interpretation of what they consider the Constitution to be as a living document, as opposed to something that's been given to us that we are to follow if we want to remain this beautiful American experiment that's worked for over 200 years. So we invite you to get out there and to watch that program. I also want to make you aware of something else. I'm telling you a bunch of stuff here. I sure am. But I want you to be informed about what we're doing at Women of Grace. We're going to have a beautiful webinar September 29th. It's not a webinar. It's a Benedicta Enrichment Seminar. We're changing our language a little bit here. Benedicta Enrichment Seminar. Our guest presenter is Kathleen Beckman. It's going to take place September 29th and 30th. It will not interfere with your time to watch the presidential debate on the 29th. It's from 7:30 p.m. Eastern to 9:00 p.m. Eastern. Train up your family for the final battle. I've been telling you about it, and I want to tell you what, you're signing up in droves, and we are excited about that. But because it's virtual, many more can come. So we want to invite you to be with us for this very, very important Benedicta Enrichment Seminar with our guest presenter, Kathleen Beckman, September 29th and 30th, 7:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. If you come and you register, then you can actually, you'll get a link and you can watch it again. You can listen again for, I think, a period of time. So we certainly want for you to sign up. If you can't make it those nights, you can still register. You'll get the link and you can watch it at your leisure, but we want you to sign up. So please go out there and do sign up. Got one more announcement really quickly for you. Next week on radio, we are going to be representing our Journey to Joy teachings, and we want you to know that you have access to all of the lessons out there again at our website. Just cruise on through that slideshow and you'll see it there. We want for you to listen next week. Lots of healing coming your way through those teachings. We're going to be right back at you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Ryan Penny, our call screener. Let him know if you're a first-time caller so I can ring my ding-dong bell for you. We're going to be right back. Stay tuned.
Encouraging women in their gift of authentic femininity. Here's more Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Well, howdy, hey, everybody. We're happy to be back with you on this side of the break, inviting you to give us a call. The phone lines are already lighting up, and oh my goodness sakes, that puts me in a very happy frame of mind because we love being with you. We're with Sue Brinkman today. It is a Wacky Wednesday. We're asking you to call in with any questions or comments that you might have about anything wacky that you see going on or anything else that's of concern to you in the world today. Let me give you that toll-free number, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Also inviting you to go out to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. When you do, use the chat feature there. You can get your question or comment up, and Jeff Burson will retrieve it and put it up on the board for us. You can text us, text EWTN 255-000. That's EWTN 255-000. Well, I was mentioning to you about our upcoming retreat. I was talking with you about the enrichment seminar. I was talking with you about the Journey to Joy study. And I'm really happy that Sue Brinkman is involved in all of it for the most part. Hey, Sue Brinkman, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. And I am looking forward to every single one of these events because we got a very exciting time coming up in the next month. We really do.
It is.
We've got a great lineup. Great lineup.
I think so, too. And I'm excited about your talk. You're going to be talking with us about contemplative prayer and the four waters, right? Is that what it is? The four waters given to us by
truth? The four waters, not waters, as we say here in Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah. Did I say waters or did I say waters?
You said water. You said it right. And you're from Pittsburgh. So, I mean, said it right.
I know. Funny little story about that. You know, I went to Penn State University and the kids from Philly said that they were from the East Coast. I said, I'm from the East Coast, too. And they said, where are you from? And I said, well, I'm from Pittsburgh. They said, no, you're from the Midwest. And I said, I am not. I'm from the East Coast. They said, no, you're not. The accents were so different. You know, we have that little twang in the Pittsburgh area, and y'all have more of like, I don't know, like a New Jersey, Philly, New York kind of.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Vibe.
We all kind of talk the same in the three states right around here. We all have the same little idiosyncrasies. But anytime I'm out speaking and I say the word water, I hear this little ripple, this chuckle go through the crowd, and they're all like, oh, well, we know where she's from. She doesn't have to tell us. She's from Philadelphia.
It's so very true. But you are going to be talking with us about the four waters of St. Teresa of Avila, right?
Yes, and I love to talk about that because most people aren't aware of it, the existence of these four stages of prayer. And if you're faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ and you are committed to your prayer life and you pray every day, God is going to gently lead you through these different stages of prayer during the course of your lifetime. And if you're open to that and you're willing to go wherever he wants to take you, I'll tell you what, this is not mind-blanking now. Mind-blanking is kindergarten compared to this. I mean, beautiful forms of prayer where he begins to speak to you soul to soul, so to speak, bypassing even your senses. And it's beautiful experiences of the love of God and how intimate he wants to be with us and how close he wants to be with us in prayer.
Yeah.
And I just think that it's always remarkable. I always love the expression on people's faces because they are shocked. You know, they've never heard of this before. Really?
Yeah.
There's four stages. Can I really do that? And it's like, well, yeah, we can. We've all got the equipment. We all have the equipment for it.
And we've all been called to it. Yeah. That's so you're going to be talking with us about the transformative power of contemplative prayer. We're going to hear about the transformative power of prayers of praise. We're going to hear about the transformative power of intercessory prayer, the transformative power of healing and deliverance prayer. We're going to be hearing about all kinds of different forms of prayer, the prayer of the Mass, Marian prayer, the rosary, the transformative power of praying the rosary. So this is right up the alley for anybody who wants to know more about prayer. And we know that prayer changes things. It changes us and it changes the world. We just have to say yes to it, as you're encouraging us to do. So we're going to ask you to say yes and to register for this beautiful event. In the meantime, lovely lady, we have lots of people that are with us here. And Kyle called in yesterday towards the end of the program and we couldn't get to him. And I invited people to call back and he has. So we're going to go to Kyle first. Lancaster, Ohio. That is the Midwest, Kyle. St. Gabriel Radio is the way he's with us today. We love St. Gabriel Radio. Big shout out to all of the good people there. Good morning, Kyle. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. How are you?
Dandy, thank you for asking.
So my question is, you were talking politics some yesterday and whatnot. So my question kind of is, you had said something about how we need to vote for the party or the candidate, really, that is most in line with Catholic Church teaching.
That's right.
My question is, how do we view then third parties when we have a third party candidate running right now whose whole platform is pro-whole life and the whole party platform is based on Catholic moral teaching?
Yeah, well, now that's like, really...
Because most people will say, well, that's a wasted vote, blah, blah, blah. But if it really comes down to we're voting for a candidate, and we need the candidate that's most in line with our church's teachings, it would seem to me that we would have to vote, I guess, for the candidate that is most in line with church teaching, which would be a third-party candidate.
Well, yeah, and that's an excellent question. So I'm gonna lob the ball over to Sue's side of the court here and see what she has to say about that, and then I'll comment too. Go ahead,
Sue. Well, of course, the important thing is always that we vote for the party that does uphold our beliefs and is the closest to our belief system, and the party that actually acts upon those and does something about them. That's I look for that. I look for action. I don't really look for talk. I don't care what they say. Yeah. They'll say anything just to get a vote. What do they do? Do they actually do things? Do they actually protect people of faith? Do they actually protect life? Do they actually protect the elderly and the vulnerable? What policies have they put forth that they've done that? The only problem I have sometimes with third parties is that what's their track record? Do they do things? I'm a very analytical type of a thinker, you know, so I'm not really easily swayed by sweet sounding words. I really want to know, you know, what have you done? What have you done with your life to support these things? Have you really lived what I believe and what you're saying that you believe? Have you really lived that? That's really what I look for. And I don't care what party it is, first, second, or third party. I don't care. It's just who is upholding. And for me, it's abortion. That's my number one thing. Nothing else matters if you're dead. So that's how I hear, you know, if you're killing off whole generations of people, who cares about the environment, and who cares about not that you don't care about them, but who cares about all these other things, education and that, if nobody's alive to enjoy them. So the right to life to me is the absolute first thing when I look at a candidate, and what has that person done to support that? So that's the way I look at it. I think this is a lot of this is personal between you and God. It's something you need to pray about. And just vote as best you can according to a well-formed conscience. That's really what you need to do.
Yeah, I'm glad
that's
you said that.
That's my thought on it.
Well, and I think, Kyle...
Is it like viewing voting then more of like, I guess, like a chess match where we're like, well, if we vote for the main party that has the better chance of winning, you know, they might or in hopes that they will enact laws and maybe elect Supreme Court judges and things like that versus I don't know. Do you get what I'm trying to say?
I do. Right. And let me respond, Kyle. I think that what Sue says is very important here, especially the part about the track record of the person that's running. So, and part of that track record, you know, shows whether or not that person has the capacity to lead and if that person has had the experience to lead. So, you know, sometimes we get third-party candidates out there, and we've seen in recent years where we've had many candidates that, you know, rise up and start off in the primaries, you know, and they never make it very far. And part of the reason for that is that we really don't know what to look at for them because they're relatively unknown, and we they come maybe from a local environment where they have some visibility, but it doesn't necessarily communicate to a national perspective. So, you know, and others will say, well, you know, it's not a viable vote because as you were alluding to earlier yourself, Kyle, you know, what's the chances of that person getting elected? Although, you know, sometimes you have a person that just creeps in, you know, a dark horse kind of a candidate that just comes to the forefront and wins the race. I don't know. But I think Sue's advice is very good. You know, you pray about it. And I like what she said. And I hear this in everything you're saying, Kyle, that you vote according to a well-formed conscience. Because this came up yesterday. You know, there's articles being written out there, Sue, in Catholic publications where it's saying, well, you know, vote your conscience. Well, you don't want to vote your conscience if it's not well-formed. That's such a hackneyed argument. And it's an argument of a lazy mind. You know, really, it's a lazy mind because you have nothing else to say because you don't want to go through the process, because if you went through the process, you would come up to the conclusion that the way you're headed is not the right way to go. So, Kyle, you think about it, you know, and you got to make that decision.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
All right, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for your call. I really appreciate that you called back. God bless you now.
All right.
Bye bye. Yeah, these are big questions, Sue. You know, and they really do affect. And as he's saying, you know, the chances of this outcome affecting future generations long into the future is very, very real. And that's why we've got to be very, very careful the way we cast our vote. I want to go to Melissa. She's in Topeka, Kansas. She's with us via Facebook. Hey, Melissa, how are you?
Hey, Jeanette and Sue, how are you doing today?
I think we're both dandy.
Yes, we're great.
Good. I'm doing excellent. I just have a couple comments. First question I have is about Louise Hay. I don't even like to say her name, but I know she is New Age.
Yes.
And my question is, what would you say to a friend who has been diagnosed with cancer who wants to get into that book, Heal Your Life? She's very interested, and she wouldn't listen to me that I said that she is getting her into that New Age. That's her way in. And then just if you could pray for my mom. She has a procedure today on her throat, and just pray that it goes well. And I'll let you answer that. Thank you.
Very good. Thanks, Melissa, for your call. Go ahead, Sue, on Louise Hay.
Yeah. We will certainly keep your mom in our prayers, Melissa, for sure. Louise Hay, she's the owner of Hay House. That's the largest publisher of New Age books in the country. This woman is very heavily invested in the New Age. This is how she thinks. You want to be able to tell your friend that there's more to healing than just actual the physical healing of oneself. The spiritual healing in there has to come around too if you're going to be completely whole. And people tend to focus, they narrow in on just on this physical, but there's a lot more to it than just that. So she has to be careful. What is she bringing into her spirit? What is she bringing in her mind that really isn't of God? And how is that going to impact her overall healing down the road, even physically? So I think that really what you need to get across to her is that the New Age way of thinking is a farce, number one. These ways that they're saying that you're able to heal your body, say, through the power of your mind, is a farce. There's really no proof to that. There's placebo effect. You might feel good for a time, but it would eventually just come back because you haven't really healed anything. There's a lot of things about New Age healing that she needs to be aware of and go into it a little bit more skeptically, especially if her life is at stake. She wants to really look at that, not just even, like I said, the physical healing, but the spiritual part of that too. What's going on in her soul right now? Take a look at her sin life. She wants to spend her time also healing that and getting close to the Lord, not really going out onto these different, you know, flaky New Age things that don't have any science behind them and can really get into her spirit and begin to warp her way of thinking about Judeo-Christian values and about the teachings of Jesus Christ. Everything to me all has to work together. You know, the Catholic Church invented holistic healing. We came up with that a long time ago. All of our hospitals do that. All of our, you know, caretakers do that. We teach the healing of the body, the mind, and the soul. And we take care of all of that. So this holism that New Agers try to take over and that, no. We have a handle on that. We know how to do that. We've been doing it for centuries. And that's my advice to you, to try to sit her down and talk to her and say, look, it's not just only about that. And the New Age things do not have a lot. New Age healing practices don't have a lot of science behind them. You may have a placebo effect, but who wants that? Don't you want real healing? And what else do you need to be healed of right now as you're going through this? And try to bring it the bigger picture into it. Get a little bit more holistic with her in it, rather than just picking up some of these pamphlets. I know what Louise Hayes has written, things like Heal Your Body. And she has all these metaphysical causes for ailments and stuff like that. And where did you, I don't know where you get them from. I would be very careful, especially if it's something very serious.
Yeah. And just a quick story, Melissa, that you can share with her. I had a friend all the way back, you know, many years ago, oh golly, probably about 3 decades ago. And she had been diagnosed with cancer. She was a young woman. And she had breast cancer, and it metastasized everywhere in her body. And she kept getting, you know, one surgery after the other. And one day she called and she said, you know, Johnette, she said, I just feel like I'm losing, you know, I'm losing my body one piece at a time. It eventually went to her brain, and it eventually became inoperable. She had had a couple of craniotomies, but it just got to the point where they couldn't do anything for her. And she said to me, you know, Johnette, she said, I just don't understand this. She said, I've been thinking all positive thoughts. I've just really been controlling my thoughts because I know that if I control my thinking, it'll bring healing to my body. I must not have been as good at it as I thought I was. I must have let some negative thoughts in. This is all my fault. And of course I sat her down. I talked with her about that. I said, no, that's not the case. You know, and we talked about God. We talked about the great gift of healing that we receive in the sacrament of reconciliation. And that's what I encouraged her to do, to get to the sacrament, to get right with God, to, you know, receive the Eucharist. But here's the thing. And the point of my story is that so many of these New Age modalities victimize the person who is already being victimized by an illness or a disease. And in the case of my friend, she was blaming herself for her cancer because she wasn't thinking the right thoughts. Well, we have to know that because of the body-soul composite, that's what we are, a body-soul composite, because of that negative thought about her reality surely was not causing her to have hope. And that virtue of hope is so very important to us.
So true.
Isn't that sad, Sue? But isn't that what so many of those modalities do?
Oh, they do. They do. And they make all kinds of promises and claims. Louise Hay herself claims that she cured herself of cervical cancer with reflexology, forgiveness, nutrition, and positive thinking. But when it comes to, was that ever verified? No, it never was.
Yeah.
We don't know. She could have been making it up. We don't know.
That's right. So, Melissa, those are the stories that need to be shared, I think. And as Sue says, you know, just try to have a good, honest conversation with her. Obviously, you have already. Pray that she's receptive to the word that you bring to her. All right, we're going to go to that break. We'll come back and pray for your mom, Melissa, and we'll go on to our other calls today. Sue Brinkman with us on this wacky Wednesday, 833-288-EWTN. Give us a call. We'll be with you in just a minute.
Madeline, I had just listened to the Women of Grace, and I just wanted to say that it was a great message today, and thank you so much, and that I guess I am one of those. I would really, really love to grow in my faith, and I want to thank you all for what you're doing and just let you know there are more out there. Thank you so much, and God bless.
Oh, isn't that nice? Oh, my goodness. Well, it is what we do, and it is why we do it. We want people to be able to grow in their faith and not to be misled, and that's what Wacky Wednesday is all about, separating the truth from the falsehood that's out there. Sue Brinkman, our guest today on this Wacky Wednesday, we're inviting you to give us a call with any question that you might have about New Age modalities or anything else wacky that you're seeing out there in the public square. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation with you. Well, Sue, Melissa did ask for prayers for her mom who's having throat surgery. So we just come together in this moment, Father God, and we lift Melissa's mom up to you. We ask that you would guide the hands of the surgeon, that you would bless all of those who are attending to her in any way. We pray that you would stack up that surgery room, Lord God, with your angels. You would clean it out of anything there that is not of you, both in the natural and in the supernatural. We pray that her mother does well with this surgery, she recovers well, and that the greatest of expectations that the doctor holds for this would be realized. We offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and merit of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. Amen and hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes. Oh, goody. So let's see. Let's go to Karen. She's next. She's in Roswell, New Mexico, listening to us via Alexa. She's a first-time caller. And here we go, Sue, with the ding-dong bell to welcome her. Hey, Karen, how are you?
I am good.
Hi.
Okay, Mike, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Okay, I was just going to jump in with my question. My sister had sent me, it was like an email thing, okay? And it was a list. This is supposedly from Pope Francis, okay? Telling us how we are supposed to vote for pro-choice candidate, because Pope Francis agrees with all these things. You know, it had like the pro-choice person on the other side, and it just... It was like 15 or 20, you know, checklist where we're supposed to go for the pro-choice person, because they, and it was like, I was so appalled. I can't even remember where it came from. I just looked at this. I mean, my sister is an intelligent Catholic woman. And the first one, which was the pro-life, you know, it did. But
yeah,
she totally blew that off. And it was all these other 10 things are more important. And I just don't know what to tell her, you know. I wish I could. I'm looking for something, you know, something to give her to say, what difference does the rest of them make, you know, if her choice is, I mean, life is the most important of everything, and I just don't know how to relate this to her.
Well, here's the first thing I would just say. Let me just jump in on this, too. The first thing that I would say is, number one, what is the source? So what is the source of this document that she's produced that says that that Pope Francis says to vote for a pro-choice candidate? We have a lot of Catholic newspapers out there today that are very liberally minded and that really take the positions of the church and in some way present them in a rather ambiguous fashion. So I would suggest that you consider the source. I know that there's been articles that people have sent to me, but I look at, okay, what is the publication? And that publication and the history of that publication will generally tell you how trustworthy it is to present what the church actually does teach, as opposed to what the writer of the article or the newspaper itself wishes the church would teach. Number two, Pope Francis would not go against the defense of life. There is no other issue that is more important. There are other issues that have intrinsic evils that are related to them, but the church and through our USCCB, our United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, through their document, Faithful Citizenship, outlines for us and tells us that of key importance is the defense of the most vulnerable human person, and that is the baby in the womb, who is there at the moment of conception. So the fact of the matter is that, you know, we have all of these documents that Holy Mother Church has given to us, inclusive of the Catechism, that helps for us to understand, you know, which are prudential judgment issues, where we do have an opportunity to look at things from a slightly different perspective. Never against life, but from the perspective of, well, there's two ways, you know, that we can go at the economy, or there might be five ways in which we can look at immigration law. So these things have a broader girth in terms of opinion, but not the non-negotiables. And the number one non-negotiable is abortion. As a matter of fact, all of the non-negotiables are related to life issues. Those non-negotiables are to protect innocent life, abortion, no cloning of human persons, no use of embryonic stem cells for the use of research, no same-sex marriage, and I might be forgetting, no euthanasia or assisted suicide. So they're all related to the protection of life, right? So your sister may be misled by what it is that she's reading, and I would send her to some more what would I want to call sources that are more in union with the full teaching of the church. And we talked at the beginning of the program about this, old, worn out, lazy minded argument of, vote your conscience. Well, a conscience has to be well formed, and a conscience is well formed by knowing what sacred scripture teaches and what the church teaches. And that means you have to do your research. And there's lots of voters guides out there. EWTN has a voter guide out there. Women of Grace has a voter guide out there that's right there in our slideshow. So we cannot claim ignorance today. We might not like what we read because we really want to vote for somebody else for all kinds of other reasons, but we are obliged to vote with the mind and the heart of the church. And the mind and the heart of the church is always oriented to life. Right, Sue?
That's absolutely right. And I can tell you what one of the sources was for that information about Pope Francis voter, the Washington Post. Now, why would we go to a secular newspaper like the Washington Post or the New York Times or something like that for any information at all about the Catholic Church? This is like the number one thing you don't do. You don't go to those sources. You go to good, solid Catholic sources, EWTN, the National Catholic Register, places that you know are in line with the magisterium of the church. Here's what they're doing out there. The Pope Francis, in his 2018 apostolic exhortation, said something that the defense of the innocent unborn must be clear, firm, and passionate. And he added that equally sacred are the lives of the poor, those already born, the destitute, the abandoned, the underprivileged, the vulnerable, the elderly. And what happened is they're taking this out of context. They're saying, well, he said it's equally sacred. So what Pope Francis is telling you to do is that it's okay to vote for, to put abortion on the same level as all these other things. And that's not what he said. He wasn't talking about voting there. He was just saying that they're equally sacred. And we all say that, of course, that they are sacred. But when it comes to voting, we already know. Our church has already been teaching this for years, what the non-negotiables are. So unfortunately, as Johnette said so wisely so, look at your source. You've got to be able to see through this stuff. And we've got to pray to the Holy Spirit. Please, Lord, help us to discern when we're being tricked. This is truly a ploy of Satan. This is exactly what he does. He twists things around and he makes it look true.
Yep.
He's good at what he does.
Yeah. Well, this whole notion of the seamless garment business came, its genesis was back in the early 80s. And I do believe that it was Cardinal Bernardin who raised this up and said that, all of these life issues are of equal importance. Abortion, the stance for against capital punishment. We have to have a preferential option for the poor. That's true. But all of these things are not equal in terms of the hierarchy that the church has assigned to them. There is a hierarchy of priority. And the seamless garment says, no, they're all the same. Well, that just isn't true. And the church has not stood behind that. So it's time to move away from that. Again, this is just an attempt to neutralize everything. And oftentimes, I think, Sue, people, they'll look for that kind of information purposely so that they can justify voting in a certain way because they have other reasons for wanting to vote in that way. It's my opinion.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what? They find a lot of it out there. It's all over the place.
That's true.
Just misleading stuff. I mean, it's not hard to find it. So, they have to use discernment, stay close to the Lord. Be a prayerful person when it comes to voting, and you're able to see through it because really we're not seeing through it because we're so smart. It's because we rely on the Holy Spirit to show it to us, and that's, we all have the same Holy Spirit. It's just we need to be willing and listen to Him and that's ask right. His advice. Lord, is this true? And could you show me if it's not? And He will. He'll help you to see.
That's right. So, Karen, I think what Sue is suggesting is very good. I think that you go out to EWTN, you go out to National Catholic Register, you go out and find quotes by the Holy Father that say otherwise. Right? You go out and look at faithful citizenship and show her the positions that our United States Conference of Catholic Bishops encourage us to assume. And you can use our voter's guide that's right there because it's taken from that. So I think that's what you should do and just say, okay, so now who are you going to believe and why? Why do you want to? Which one is the more consistent argument? Look in the catechism. That's the official teaching of the church there. Look in the documents of John Paul II. John Paul II was pro-life the whole way, you know, and yeah, I know he said, be not afraid, but by the same token, he said a whole lot more about issues that we're facing today. So I would encourage you to do that, Karen, and just present the other side and then just say, you have to make a decision and you'll have to, answer to God for the decision you make. And I do think we'll be held accountable for these very important decisions.
Yeah. For sure.
So thanks for your call, Karen. We appreciate you and we appreciate the call. And I'm glad you're a first-time caller. Call us back. Let's go to Tracy. She's in Conneautville, PA. I think I'm pronouncing that right. Conneautville, PA. Station of the Cross is the way. She's with us. How are you, Tracy?
I'm fine, Johnette. How are you?
Dandy, thank you.
Well, thank you for taking my call. My question is about a website. It's called Countdown to the Kingdom.
Okay.
I've heard about this on another program, and it was kind of concerning me because of the first thing of it being Countdown to the Kingdom. That just didn't sound right. So I went on their website, and I was looking for information on that, and I just was wondering if either one of you have heard about this website.
I haven't. Sue, have you?
Yes, I have. I have. This okay. website was put up by Christine Watkins, okay. who is the author of the book, The Warning. She's the author of many other books, but this one in particular, The Warning. And that website has a lot of end times predictions and prophecies from all of the people that are on there that I have seen are unapproved church sources. None of these apparitions have been approved that are on there. In fact, she has come under quite a bit of criticism for that. Father Miguel Rodriguez is one of the centerpieces of that website and also her book on the warning. And his bishop has come out vehemently against his teachings. And yet that stuff still remains on her website. So she's Yeah, Count of the Kingdom, you just have to be careful with this. There's a lot of end time stuff out there. Whenever you have a big pandemic, like what we have now throughout history, this is just something that happens with people. We begin to think, oh, it's the end of the world. We get afraid. We're frightened. And these kind of things start to proliferate. And that's what's happening right now. And you're having all kinds of people coming out of the woodwork saying that our Lord or our Lady is telling them that the end is near. It's happening. It's countdown to the day when it's going to happen. And look out for the warning and this, that, and the other thing. And you just really need to put that in the right perspective. We all know it's the end times. It's been the end times. But what you need to do is get prepared personally to meet your bridegroom. That's what you need to be focusing on. What all this other stuff is to me is just a distraction from that. It's just a way to get you to be hunting around for who said what, what's this prophecy? Let me find some more to read because they're kind of sensationalistic and kind of fun to read. You know, be careful with this stuff. Be very careful with it that you don't lose sight of what really matters here. And that is that Jesus is going to come for you. You're going to have your end time, you know. It might not be the end time for the whole world, but you're going to have an end time. And you want to make sure that if that end time comes today or tomorrow, that you're ready for that. And that's where your focus should be. So that's all I know about the countdown to the kingdom, what I've been seeing and reading about it. Does that help you, Tracy?
Yes. Well, it was just because I was concerned because that was my way of thinking as well. But I was concerned because they were promoting the fact of starting like next month to telling people to it might be a good idea to store up food for the next 3 months because some kind of virus that's worse than what's happening now will be coming. And that was just not that it was bothering me, but what was bothering me was the fact that they were doing more like causing people to get a little bit of a fear factor from this.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. And like Johnette just said about the last caller, still applies here. Look at the source of that. Was that an approved apparition, an approved message? And also remember with private revelation, we are not obligated to believe that. Okay. That's from the catechism. We're not obligated to believe private revelation. Why would the Lord tell us anything that important, life or death, and leave it into private revelation, where his church tells, oh, you don't have to believe that. Why would he do that? Just be very careful about this stuff is what I'm saying. And a lot of these are not, most of them are not approved apparitions by the church. And always let Holy Mother Church determine what is approved, and even in private revelation, what is approved and what is not approved. And having it in imprimatur doesn't mean it's church approved. A lot of people go around and they fish around for imprimaturs. They'll get an imprimatur from some bishop in the Philippines or in Nicaragua or somewhere else, even though they're here in the United States. The imprimatur has to be from their bishop or the bishop of the diocese where their book or their prophecies are being published. Those are the imprimaturs that count. You can go to the Miracle Hunter's website. He's got beautiful work up there, explains a lot of this stuff, and it'll help you to understand how to put in the right context these apparitions.
Yeah.
I would highly recommend going to that website, the Miracle Hunter.
Yeah, that's excellent advice, Tracy. And I just I want to say this in reference to what Sue was saying about, you know, we're all going to have our time of particular judgment. Sacred Scripture is replete in the New Testament, and our Lord Himself, like in Matthew 24, He begins to give us some indication about what we will see when the time is growing short. Well, the time has been growing short since the Passion, Death, Resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. But, you know, as Scripture says, one day is 1,000 years in the sight of the Lord, right? So we can become very, very distracted and moved away from the way in which we should be living our lives every day as if Jesus were going to come for us tonight. That's what Jesus is saying. Don't be like the foolish virgin who didn't have the oil in her lamp and ran out to get some and, you know, was out of luck because the Lord walked by when she was gone shopping, you know. So the idea is, we do need to be prepared. We need to be spiritually prepared every day because we don't know if it's going to be our last day. And maybe Jesus will come back. We don't know. But we don't live in a fear of that. We live in a state of preparedness. Now, on the stockpiling of food, I'll say this. You know, I'm from the state of Florida, now transplanted to the state of Alabama. But, you know, we have hurricanes in Florida, and we've seen a lot of big tropical storms coming up. It is not an imprudent move. It's a prudent move to have some things on hand in the event that you should have some kind of a natural disaster, not that you're looking for one, but something that would get you through that time. And in Florida, you know, they say, okay, there's a hurricane coming. And I mean, the shelves are bare, you know, but there's a lot of people that have some things that they keep in supply and they keep fresh. As they expire, they throw them out and replace them so that they're not caught short. I don't think there's a problem with that. You know, I don't think that, but to stockpile food out of fear, you know, we've got that scripture passage about the guy with the grain in his silos, you know, and the Lord says, you're stacking up all of this stuff in your silos and, you know, I'm coming for you tonight, buddy boy, and that's not going to get you anything. So there's a prudential way to live. And I think that if we're living in that kind of a fashion, if we're living, you know, a life that is reasonable, the church is highly reasonable. We don't want to give in to fear. And so Sue's advice is excellent. Help you?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Johnette and Sue.
Okay. God bless you, darling.
Thank you, Tracy.
God bless you now. Bye-bye. Yeah. This is one of the things, you know, we went through this, you know, once before. Not, I don't know if it was in the 80s or I think it was in the 90s, though. I think it might have been in the 90s. But the fact of the matter is we went through this with, you know, the coming chastisement and 3 days of darkness. Well, that is contained in a lot of the writings of the mystics, and maybe that will come. But, you know, we don't know when it's going to come. And we can sit there and try to be prognosticators, Sue, but is that really useful and beneficial for our soul? Or is it better than just to sit there and pray the rosary? You know,
you're exactly right. You should be praying the rosary. That is the most powerful thing you can do is to pray.
That's right.
For this. And you know what? We do have in Scripture, in the book of Revelation, we do have a lot of a documentation there from the Lord that was revealed about what it's going to be like in the end of times. But He also said what? Nobody knows the end of times except my Father.
All right.
So we don't know that. And that's why I'm saying really what you need to do is be prepared. Like you said, if you want to stockpile some food for an emergency, like a weather-related emergency or something, that's fine. But I think maybe what Tracy was even referring to, I'm not sure if she was or not, but there are some prophecies out there that something's going to happen in October. It was the same thing last October, by the way.
It was supposed to happen in 2000. You know, it was supposed to happen prior to that in the late 80s, early 90s, you know, and here we still are. So I think balance, via media, as St. Thomas Aquinas says. I want to get to Tom really fast, and we're running short on time. He's Station of the Cross. He's in Topsfield, Massachusetts. Hey, Tom, succinct little question for Sue so that she has time to answer you.
My son picked up a book in a secondhand bookstore for me called The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow. It was printed in 1983.
By Constance Cumby.
New Age movement. And yes. And it talks about the New Age movement and many, many things that she's written that she warned us about is coming true today, or we're seeing today, the push for mindfulness and meditation and all sorts of pagan practices in school. One of my sons, on one of his first days of school, was told, okay, it's been a very depressing time. Everyone just sit down, empty your minds, clear your minds, and meditate for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So, Tom, just quick on Constance and then over to Sue here. I know Constance Cumby. I have interviewed Constance Cumby. Mother Angelica interviewed Constance Cumby. And you're right. Her books really did delineate what was going on. She saw it. Sue, final word. What about this push in the schools?
Oh, it's because we're entering a secular age. And if you got your children in public schools, you better watch out for it. Be vigilant. Watch what they're bringing home from school. Watch what they're being taught, because the new age is creeping into our public schools. It definitely is.
There you go. Well, Sue, another full day right here on this Wacky Wednesday. Looking forward to next week. And friends, we always enjoy being with you right here on Women of Grace Live. We invite you to get out to that website. All of those good events coming up just for you. Be sure to sign up and join us. God bless you now. Bye-bye.